This morning, I am joined by the marketing manager of the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts, Katie Houston, and chief curator, Rahima Barber. And I'd like to welcome them both to WMUK. They've been working for weeks and months on a very, very special presentation this fall that is called Black Refractions, Highlights from the Studio Museum in Harlem. It's significant on many levels, so I hope we can get into some of that this morning. Thanks for being here, Rahima, and thank you, Katie.
Of course.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, Kara.
First of all, this is open to the public when? This Saturday, Katie?
Saturday's our community day, free for everyone from 11 to 5. Three exhibitions are filling nearly the entire museum. We have activities, local artists, story time, refreshments, performances. Going to be a lot of fun on Saturday.
Rahima, I know you have kind of the backstory on this whole effort for this 2019 exhibit at the KIA. Would you maybe weave us a story, weave us a tale into its importance and just take us in?
Well, some months ago, our executive director, Belinda Tate, she is a board member of the American Federation of the Arts, who is also one of the organizers of this exhibit. I believe she was in talks with them probably at that time to also join the board, but was looking at their exhibitions. We've been taking their exhibitions occasionally at our institution, and the AFA is an esteemed organization which travels exhibitions across the country and even internationally. So Black Refractions came up as a partnership that the AFA was doing with the Studio Museum in Harlem, and Belinda, with her just insightfulness, said we need to have this at the KIA. And so we are the only Midwest institution that is showing Black Refractions. And actually, our presentation is really unique in the fact that we have organized it completely differently than any other venue. So if you don't see it here, you won't see it anywhere. even though it is still will travel on afterwards to another institution. I want to say it's going out west. But so she was in talks with the AFA about this exhibition. We managed to secure it for our space. And then also knowing that we have strengths in our own collection, Belinda said, okay, I'm going to curate a show that also kind of has some thematic ties to the Black Refractions. And then to do more, we also said, okay, and why not also show local artists of African-American descent at the same time? So it's just has become this big sort of, I don't want to say amalgamum, but that's the word I'm going to use. I hope, I'm sorry, viewers, if that's too big of a word. I'm a wordy woman.
Not WMUK listeners.
But of exhibitions. And it's really been fabulous because we have this sort of international and national artists, as well as the KIA's collection, which is really rooted in American art. And that also has some international, national, and regional touchstones. And then we have our regional artists. So we have everything. It's all Michigan. It's all the United States. It's international. It's amazing. I'm really excited to see it.
No other American museum has done this kind of a turnover.
Never. We have no American museum has ever deinstalled its collection because we have almost fully deinstalled our collection to do this series of programs. So, yes.
The portion of the collection that's on view.
Right. Yes.
Right. And so
what an effort.
The lower level galleries, which are usually devoted, are now
devoted to
this whole
Black Refractions, Where We Stand,
and resilience.
So like it's going to be incredible.
Rahima, I never get to talk to people who curate art or have the job chief curator. So have you familiarized yourself with the entire collection that's on and off display
at goodness.
The KIA?
That's a good question. So I just joined the KIA in April. So I am...
That takes time.
Yes, it does take time. But I have some really great colleagues that I've been working with. Catherine Ransbottom, she is our associate curator, and she's really well-versed in the collection. So she and I have been working very closely, actually, because we have another permanent collection project on the horizon for the spring. And
can't
Belinda,
get ahead of ourselves,
course,
though, right now.
Yes, Belinda, of course, knows the collection. So I really have been getting kind of a crash course, but honestly, it's been lovely. I mean, when I first came here, even when I was interviewing, I walked the permanent collection and was just floored. I mean, the KIA has some amazing treasures that, and I've worked all over the country in many different major museums, the St. Louis Art Museum, the Wadsworth Athenaeum, some really major places. And I have, I mean, literally, the Frankenthaler that we have, the Helen Frankenthaler that the KIA has is stellar, the Miriam Shapiro. I could go on and just say all the names.
There are 5,000 objects,
but
so don't let her do that.
But I'm going to tell you, I loved it. I mean, from the minute I stepped into the KIA's permanent collection installation, when I saw it, I was like, "If this is the place I want to be." So,
the main exhibition is Black Refractions, highlights from the Studio Museum in Harlem. Mm-hmm. What does the Studio Museum in Harlem mean to you? What regard do you have for this?
So, I mean, the Studio Museum is an esteemed institution. I mean, it was formed in 1968, and it was formed by some of the citizens and artists of Harlem with the idea that they would bring art to the community in a new and different way, but also support artists of African American descent or the African diaspora. And so, I mean, the Studio Museum has been this sort of seminal place where Black artists have been able to show their work in a time, especially in a time when they weren't doors weren't open to them. And really, to be clear, everyone looks to the Studio Museum for their program, their studio, their artist in residence program, which is why they have studio in the title of their name, because it's one of their founding principles to have an artist in residence program. But everyone looks to them for their artist in residence program because they've been trendsetters and of who is going to be sort of the next great with regard to the African, with regard to arts of the African diaspora. And they've, I mean, when you see their collection, you will see that they have really set such a high bar, and it's really lovely to have their collection here. And it's also really nice to see how our collection, the KIA's collection, overlaps with that. So it means that we're not too far off the mark. We're in the Midwest, but we have certainly done our job here. So,
since it was founded in 1960, that would mean that it's celebrating 50 years.
Yes, 1968. Mm-hmm. Over 50 years now. It's 51 now because it's 2019. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, don't ask me to make that work on my...
No math.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
So it's a really significant season for them. And just the fact that they're... collection, parts of their collection are on tour. That doesn't happen every year either.
Right? No. I mean, they do loan to other institutions pieces here or there. But to be clear, they did this on the occasion of their 50th anniversary. And they're also building a whole new building by the renowned, he's really becoming vastly renowned, but his name is David Ajay. He's building a fabulous new building for them. He actually was the architect for the National Museum of African American History and Culture Museum, which opened at the Smithsonian Institution, which opened a couple of years ago now. But yes, it's going to be fabulous. And honestly, the works on the checklist were about 100 works on the checklist. They let you pick which works you want to show. We are showing about 96. We're showing 96 of the works. So which is really amazing in conjunction with, like I said, our own collection. So we have about, oh my goodness, I don't want to do this math. Don't come in here and count public. But I know we have over 150 works on the wall. So probably closer to 200 works on the wall by artists of African descent. So that's going to be lovely. First American art museum to ever do a break in history here in Kalamazoo.
Rahima Barber is chief curator of the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts, and Katie Houston is marketing manager. And let's recap what we've kind of covered so far. Maybe, Katie, I'll turn to you for that.
Absolutely.
The free public day is Saturday.
Saturday. Free admission from 11 to 5 and activities from 11 to 3. It's a great family opportunity to meet local artists, make art with local artists, enjoy some dancing from the Trinity Youth Prep crew, story time with art detectives, which is a drop-in. They'll be going a couple different times, and just a lot of fun.
And you can wander the
Exhibitions. And there is a hands-on space in the lower level, which is called the Interactive Gallery. And late breaking news, we have an oversized, I don't know how tall it is, I can't wait to see it plugged in, a Light Bright. Not the little one on your lap that you might have played with, but a big one that we borrowed from the Grand Rapids Children's Museum. And we're looking forward to having some fun with that. So yeah, definitely things for the kids on Saturday and any day. Children are always free at the KIA.
How long will Black Refractions, highlights from the Studio Museum in Harlem, be available to view at the KIA?
All three exhibitions are going through December 8th.
So I always say that to myself. I have a little time. And then it's December, and I'm like,
right?
I got to get in there. Could you recap the other two exhibitions as well?
Absolutely. Where We Stand, Black Artists in Southwest Michigan, features 9 working artists. It's an invitational exhibition curated by Farian Zinga and Denise Lasecki. And a lot of those artists are going to be at the KIA and in the community. One of the features of this nearly year-long effort is all of the community partners we have been working with, including Western's Theater Department and the Richmond Center, Kalamazoo Valley Community College Galleries, Black Arts and Cultural Center, and the Kalamazoo Public Library is having an artist in residence at nearly every single branch. And those are the Where We Stand artists. And so Darian Burris, who's a Western Michigan University student, is going to be at the Alma Powell branch for a week later this month. James Palmore, who's an educator and artist locally, he's going to be at the Eastwood branch. And that information is available online at blackrefractionskalamazoo.org. So that's the wide net that we have collaboratively worked with all year. So lots going on with us and throughout the community, which is just really gratifying. Mm-hmm.
Rahima, I want to go back to you for, I know this is radio and you can only talk about it and we can't show pictures,
right.
But what are some of the things you love that or were surprises and what kind of flow did you design?
Oh, man. Okay, so we have one whole room that is all just abstract art, which is really amazing. I mean, right now there's a real movement to see artists of color that are creating, that have been creating abstract art. In fact, the St. Louis Art Museum is opening up a big show this weekend as well of Black abstract art. But I'm just going to give us a little nod and say I think that ours is really such a really nice presentation. It feels like sort of a mini exhibition within a fuller exhibition. There are works that you would not expect to see, like materials like Swarovski crystals or pony beads or feathers. I mean, like, it's really, really exciting to see that. And then there are works that are video works. There are several video works within the show. So some of them have headphones where you have to come up and, of course, just to give people the sort of viewing experience where they're not interrupted with hearing audio from that. But videos, let me see. There are like really massive sculptures too in the show too. There's one sculpture that I want to say is almost like a ton. which is incredible. I can't believe we're showing. It's like 30 feet long. So I'm really looking forward to installing that. We also have light-based works. So one of the earliest artists, actually, he was one of the first artists to show at the Studio Museum, Tom Lloyd. They redid his work, Musaku, and it's a light-based work. And so when you come into our lobby, you will see Musaku flashing. And then we have also installed works that are paper-based. You wouldn't believe, like, in papers for, like, you put on foam rollers. Like, it's very interesting to see, like, the textures come out. There's a sculpture made of, like, rubber tires, repurposed rubber tires. Really beautiful. So
it's sort of an anything goes quality.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it also just shows the ingenuity of artists, right? To take something that we use every day and maybe it seems like nothing to us, right? But in their minds, they've kind of twisted and turned it and then fashioned it into something incredible where you're just like, oh my goodness, I wouldn't have thought of that at all. So, yeah, I mean, we will have things on view that are sure to delight people, sure to leave them in amazement. And just overall, I think there's one sculpture, and it's actually on the wall. It's a wall-based installation by Leonardo Drew, and it is massive. It took 4 or 5 people to install it just to put it on the walls. And it literally had to come from its crate and put into the wall. And to combine, that work weighs 1,400 pounds. It's unbelievable, right? It's like 1,400 pounds. How did you get that there?
It's a whole different radio show to talk about the behind the scenes aspect of moving art and installing art.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to know, when you personally see a new piece of art, say a painting, is it an emotional response, or do you have a sort of, do you ask yourself a series of questions about it? Do you immediately know what era it's from, or what the artist is trying to say? What swirls in your mind?
Well, you know, there are a lot of things that swirl. I would say that, you know, one of the things that is really important is I think that all curators develop an eye. And when I say an eye, it just really is something that when I say to my students, you know, because I come from an academic background, you know, for me, a good piece of work, whether I'm standing at a distance or if I'm up close to it, holds me from either distance, right? That's a good rule of thumb for me. Like, if I'm far away the closer I get to it, it still holds the same impact. I know that that's a good work, right? I also would just say that I look for, like, textures and colors. I will say that there's an emotion. Like, sometimes you get a little sort of tingling, I guess. Maybe that I'm telling too much now. And sometimes also, too, I think that when I'm looking at the work, I am saying, like, okay, this is interesting. I like the materials. I see what the artist may be trying to say. I see that they're maybe pushing the boundaries of this current conversation that's happening right now. So there are a lot of things that happen. It's a little bit of everything.
Do you feel a lot of responsibility to honor the work on the walls or installed and try to share that, you know, excitement with anyone who walks in?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things, too, that, you know, when I do studio visits with artists, and even, like I said, again, when I talk to students that are training to be studio artists, I always warn them that, you know, once it comes out of the walls of your studio, you really can't control how people connect with it, right? So, just to be open. That's part of the beauty of creating art, right? Is that you create it in this sort of incubator-like space, right? You're by yourself, you're in this place, and you're making this sculpture or this painting or this installation-based work. But then you take it out of your space and then people get to experience it, right? And then something happens differently. I guarantee you most artists are like, okay, I didn't see that happening when I was in the studio because, like, you know, you're just one person, right? And we all have these different approaches and all our different personalities and perspectives that we bring to it. So when we look at something, what you may see, I may not see. Well, you know, to this day, my dad and I, we had this argument about this painting he had on his wall. And I said, this is a lady and she has like pants on or whatever I said. He was like, no, she has a dress on and this is a boot and all this other thing. And we argued about what we were looking at for a good 20 minutes until we both looked at it. And I said, well, I see where you could say that's a boot. And then he said, well, I see where you could say that's a pocket. It was just a meeting place, right? Because for the longest time, and it's a painting that I grew up with. You know, I've seen it since I was a babe. My dad has seen it even before that. So, like, it was just this moment where you realize even, where I even realized is that, you know, the viewer is really an important activator, you know, of the art. So it's not just good enough to put it up on the walls and say, oh, that looks good. It has to be also this conversation, this dialogue that it incites within a viewer, within mm-hmm. people to kind of have this conversation. Like, what is that? What do you think? You know? So, yeah.
Rahima Barber is the chief curator at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. And the KIA opens Black Refractions Highlights from the Studio Museum in Harlem this Saturday with a free day in which it's a great idea to bring the little ones. There's a lot of activities for that. Along with that, the KIA has cleared its walls and halls for Resilience, African American Artists as Agents of Change, which features works from its own collection, and Where We Stand, Black Artists in Southwest Michigan, featuring a range of regional artists. And speaking of, you know, ways to interpret it or ways to get more context, I know that on Thursday, Katie, there is a person who will kind of give an overview for anyone who chooses to come. Tell us about that event, please.
We are kicking off our opening week with a speaker, Lauren Haynes. She is curator of contemporary art at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville, Arkansas. But she was with the Studio Museum as late as 2016 and was part of the inception of the Black Refractions tour and the concept and what part of the collection from the Studio Museum should be offered up for the tour. So we're looking forward to some inside scoop on how this all came about. We're excited to have her. It's a 6:30 evening talk with a 5:30 reception. It's just $5 admission. Children are free, as always. And we are... we're just really excited for that. It'll be a kind of a moment for all of us to sit down and remember why we're doing this and be encouraged all over again about making this kind of landmark effort in Kalamazoo.
Yeah, and if you attend this introductory lecture on Thursday night, you'll also be able to visit with WMUK a little bit.
I was just going to say, WMUK is our esteemed sponsor for that event and a few more over the fall. The exhibition, however, will not be open. So just know that, but it'll be a great warmer upper for the opening on Saturday and Sunday and throughout the fall.
Beyond hearing about it, you know, in conversation here on WMUK, where would you recommend people go, internet sources or straight to the KIA's?
Well, kiarts.org is a great source for what's going on at the museum.
The full schedule.
And of course, as mentioned earlier, we have a shared site called blackrefractionskalamazoo.org, which includes all of the programming going on with WMU, with KVCC, with the Black Arts and Cultural Center, Kalamazoo Public Library. And so that is super exciting. There is a lot going on. I know it's a little cliche to say something for everybody, but if you can't find something you'd like to do with a friend or your family or more than one something, you give me a call and I'll make sure to hook you up with where you should do go and when.
Yes.
And what's
yes,
that phone number? So there's so much going on. It's really hard to fully explain the scope. So yes, the resource of kiarts.org is a great stopping place, and Black Refractions
Kalamazoo
site also. Now, I'm curious to know if we'll be getting any visits from artists themselves who were part of the Studio Museum in Harlem.
As a matter of fact, we will.
Yes, we will.
I'm
excited.
Yeah. Do you want to go with that?
Oh, no. I'm going to let you go.
That is a little more marketing, isn't it?
That's your...
We have three visiting artists who are on view in Black Refractions. One is Stephanie Jemison, and you're going to have her on air next month. She's coming for the October Art Hop with an interactive performance piece. She is a musician, a digital artist. Again, she's on view in the exhibition. We're really lucky to have her. So Friday, October 4th for Art Hop. We have Corey Newkirk coming for a talk, October 17th. That's a Thursday. He's also doing a workshop in the art school.
Tell me more about, I'm not sure who Corey is.
Yep, Rahima, no. I'll lead that over. He's something else.
No, he's amazing. Corey is an artist that has used pony beads. When I mentioned it earlier, his work uses pony beads. And Corey's work is just really, really, really incredible. And it's in I'm trying to think of where it's situated in the museum. It's in the section where we talk about materiality and culture. And so, yes, Corey's work it looks rather abstract at first when you look at it. It almost reminds you of, remember those, and I hate to give this reference, but I will. But do you remember those curtains that they were like, beaded curtains? It kind of looks like that, but let's just be clear, they're not. And really, when he was thinking about that, the particular work that we have, it came about as a conversation that happened. Do you remember when the Williams sisters first came out and they had beads in their hair, and there was all this focus on a part of their anatomy that really didn't mean anything, right? The tennis skills kind of went to the background. So he makes this beautiful, seemingly abstract work using pony beads. And I like the fact that he's taken something that implies motion and sort of implies sound, and he just quiets it down, right? He just takes the tone of it right down because it's hung directly on the wall. You can't touch it. It's not supposed to move. It's like a painting, but with pony beads, right? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. One of the sort of, I can't say that I have a favorite in the exhibition, but I will say that this particular work is kind of one of those works where you look at it, you say, wow, how did you do that? And how did you think about it? And how did you make an image of this scale, with this sort of minute,
that's another wonderful component material of visiting an art museum. Part of it is, your emotional reaction, and another part is just and the time. Often you're blown away by how much time this really would have taken. And we were talking about Corey Newkirk. He's appearing on October 16th.
Right. He's coming the whole way from LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're excited. Okay. I know. Hopefully our weather will hold up for him and he won't be too freezing here.
Better not be snowing by mid-October.
No.
So you mentioned Stephanie Jemison on October 4th, and it's Adia Millett.
She's here this month, Thursday, September 26th, an artist talk. The KIA, our evening programs are at 6:30 and just $5. And she's a young artist Rahima, I'm not really well versed
on
what her medium is or her approach.
Right. So Adia's work considers loss, memory, and sort of the significance of the everyday, right? So in the work that we have on view, it's something that everyone could kind of relate to. Do you remember doing like the embroidery patterns when you were maybe a young woman? Mm-hmm. I remember it. Mm-hmm. Well, she takes something seemingly ordinary, that task, which is also in some ways considered woman's work. And I did air quotes, everyone. woman's work, and she inverts it, right? She turns it on its head, and that's something that a lot of artists have been doing with materials, is sort of inverting sort of the traditionality, the function of those materials, and sort of elevating it to another level. And so she takes these objects and renders them, like, for instance, one of the I'm going to call them drawings, because they really do look like drawings, even though they're with embroidery thread, is like a $20 bill, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow. I looked at it the other day. I was like, she really captured this architecture of this building extraordinarily. Or another is like a hat. They're just some other really just beautiful little elements. And then she puts them all together, and you're like, oh, okay, that's really interesting to see these seemingly disparate elements put together and sort of the conversation that they weave about this one particular work. So I have been actually watching Adia's work for many years. When she first came out, I would say, I mentioned this the other day when I was in the gallery with one of the curators that's helping us install, that came from the Studio Museum, that I have been looking at her work for quite some time. And it's just really going to be so amazing to actually finally meet her in person, because I've been looking at her work for, like, I don't know, 10 plus years. And I've just seen how her practice has just gone up, you know, year by year. She just continues to elevate the sort of the sensibilities of craft and fine art, but also, like, take something seemingly ordinary and say, oh, okay, I didn't think about that. That's the thing, the beauty of art. And that's what I think that we're doing our jobs and doing, doing the work that we do is effective, right? Making sure that's effective is when we take something seemingly ordinary and then get people to think about it in a completely different way, right? You know, we're surrounded by art in every way, but we don't really have that cognition to know it. Someone designed these beautiful cups. We have a beautiful tea set in front of us, and that's artistry, you know? Even down to some of these utilitarian objects that we're using, someone had to create that, and that's a form of artistry.
Do you think just visiting an exhibition can leave you with a renewed sense of, when you walk back to your house, or, you know, when you leave, you can for a while kind of have a new awareness of, things?
Well, we know that visiting an art museum not only allows folks to take a breath, but it activates a different part of their brain. And that's why we are so encouraging and do all we can for young people. You know, we have tours coming through, school groups, art detectives every month to introduce little ones to the galleries, because it makes memories. You know, you can have fun in a gallery. You can see something silly or different, or I always want to, I mean, I'm not in the curatorial department, but I always want to, I like to think about having children, you know, find something you don't like, find something you wish you could try, find your favorite color, find a boat, you know, our museum educators really know what they're doing, but right. Of course a museum visit, and, you know, it doesn't have to be a whole afternoon. We're not in Minneapolis, you know, you can enjoy the KIA, honestly, well under 2 hours. It's, you know, it's a wonderful thing to just put on your calendar for special time with people you enjoy.
Katie, I'm going to just tell everybody, I don't know about 2 hours.
Well, maybe not this
biased.
Fall. You're right.
I'm biased. I'm biased.
I just don't want people
fall.
To be daunted
by a
visit to the museum.
For sure. I would tell people to come back often. Mm-hmm. It's one of those times where you will see something different every time you come in the door.
That's true.
And so for me, you know, looking is even though I'm a curator, looking is something really important that happens for me. And whenever I visit a museum, I look at everything from the labels to how the work is hung to the lights. I mean, I look at every single aspect of it because I really know that those things set a tone. And I think that, you know, when you come in and see our show, Black Refractions, Where We Stand, and Resilience, you will see that we have set something that we're asking people to give us feedback about. This is about creating an exchange here. It's a dialogue. It's not just like look at it and then leave. We want you to also tell us.
I just keep thinking of that cliche of if a tree falls in the woods, no one's there to hear it. Would it make a sound? It's the part of the completion is the gaze of the audience that's what all this effort goes towards that people can have that interaction.
Yeah. I mean, we're hoping that we get people to start conversations. I mean, at the heart of everything that we're doing, you know, here at the KIA, this isn't just about presenting artists of African descent, right? This is about showing the threads that bind us, showing our commonalities, not our differences. I think that we're in a moment right now in history where everything just seems like, oh, so disparate, so different. We're focused on our individual differences. But we are really trying to tell a fuller story of the American experience. This isn't just like, oh, we have these Black artists. This is the American experience. Everybody can, relate to this idea of can relate to sorrow, can relate to joy, can relate to pain, right? Mm-hmm. And so in some really poignant, beautiful, and just, you know, downright bold ways, you see those elements really come through in the artwork. I mean, I can't say it enough that this is it. While this is a historic moment and we're doing something that we've never done before, this is also about saying that, you know, you have this experience. I have this experience. We all have this experience. And it's different in varying ways. Mm-hmm. But we still have the same experience.
Well, Rahima and Katie, this has been an introduction to the next 3 months at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. Listeners, if you have any questions, the website is kiarts.org. Of course, the information line, if you'd like to call, is listed there too. There are some introductory events this week. Thursday, you can come at 6:30 or a little earlier and listen to one of the original organizers talk about the importance of the exhibit. And on Saturday, show up yourself, your family, bring yourself down and get your first taste, your first experience of it. And as Rahima said, this is something you might have to come back a few times for.
And it's free on Saturday. Yep. So make sure you come. It's free on Saturday. We look forward to seeing you there on Saturday and the following days, and don't miss it. This isn't something you want to miss. Once it's gone, it's gone. Okay. I said that because I have some people. I know there's some people listening that have FOMO, fear of missing out. So don't miss out. Don't miss out.
You'll have to drive yourself or fly to Seattle or Salt Lake City if you want to see it again.
That's right. And it will not be the way we do it. So, yeah. You know, we're special here
it's
in Kalamazoo.
Not easier. Much easier to come
down.
It's
kind of a coup to have this show. We're excited about it.
Well, congratulations to you both, and I hope this week is filled with excitement and joy and not too much stress. I know that you're down to the wire, and but it'll be such a relief, I'm sure, to have it open to all the people.
Yeah. I have not seen any of these exhibitions. I work there, but I'm just, I'm like waiting at the door.
The galleries are in lockdown.
The galleries, yeah. A lot of us have no idea. Oh, we're going to be as excited as anybody.
Well, I had to think of some music that might take us out of our interview, and I thought of a piece called Harlem, actually, which was a conductor, a famous conductor named Arturo Toscanini. He ran the NBC Symphony Orchestra for a number of years, and he admired Duke Ellington and his band very, very much. So this is one of these crazy fusion pieces that came out of their collaboration. Duke wrote a piece for his group plus orchestra, and it's called Harlem, and it celebrates the way of life on a Sunday morning, actually. People dressed up in their finest outfits and strolling the neighborhood and celebrating Harlem.
Well, thank you, Kara.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Mm-hmm.